Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to look at this message from Matthew 4 here in just a minute. But first, I want to give you an update on what's happening over here in Africa. I'm coming to you from Mumias, Kenya today, out here in West Kenya. And we've been having beautiful rainy weather. The crops are doing very well. Just about every other day we get a shower. And so we are being blessed. You probably heard on the news, much of Kenya is in drought and famine conditions. And that is very true. About two-thirds of the country of Kenya is very dry, extremely dry. And this drought has been going on for a couple of years. And it goes up into Somalia, other parts of the Horn of Africa. And so we can pray for Kenya, that those parts that are arid and dry and where famine is very severe, that those parts in those places will start to get rain, that people will be able to get food, people will be able to graze their livestock on fresh grass. And so this is a very desperate situation in many of the places in Kenya. Just to give you a little idea about the country of Kenya, about two-thirds of the country of Kenya is mostly brush. It's like goat brush. It's very arid and not really hospitable for farming or any activities like that. There's a lot of people who graze livestock, goats and sheep and some cattle in those arid parts. But out here where I live in West Kenya, it's very lush, very green. We're close to Lake Victoria, a little over an hour away from Lake Victoria, one of the world's largest lakes. And so it's very lush and green. We have the lake effect for showers twice a year in the spring and fall. We have the long rains in the spring and the short rains in the fall. And so we actually have two growing seasons out here. The temperatures are moderated and it's very green and lush. You can grow just about anything in this part of Kenya. So we have a good project going with the children's home. Things are going well there. The children are off this week because of break between terms. And then next Monday, they'll start back again. And we have a great church, Living Water Church of Makunda. And also, we're going to be going to Tanzania in October. Hopefully, we pushed this back a couple of times due to lack of funds. We'll be going in October to do a crusade over there in Arusha in northern Tanzania. So pray with us on that. Pray for us. If you'd like to support any of these ventures, stay tuned to the end of this broadcast and you will get contact information how you can support us, stand with us, and encourage us here in the Lord's work in Africa. Well, today we're going to be talking about the temptations of Jesus. And of course, you know, if you know the Bible at all, this is one of the great stories in the Bible. It's not just a story, it's the life of Jesus. And so this is great because Jesus faced the temptations, the very same temptations that we face in our daily life. And he was taken up into the wilderness. This was the start of his ministry, actually, when he was 30 years old. And just prior to this time, when he was taken up into the wilderness, he was baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist. And we can look at that in verse 16 in chapter 3 of Matthew. It says, when Jesus had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And so Jesus was the Son of God. It was made known to him and to the others there at that place of baptism. And the voice came out of the clouds. A voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And so that's a very good picture of the Trinity. You have Father God speaking to his Son, Jesus Christ, who had just been baptized, and you have the Holy Spirit descending like a dove and lighting upon him. So you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all there in one scene at the Jordan River with John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, standing off to the side. And so this then leads us up into chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, "And Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." And so this is the purpose, this was the reason for which Jesus was led up into the wilderness. He was led up there to face temptation of the devil. And this was the very first activity, the very first venture into ministry that Jesus accomplished, that Jesus endeavored. And so we have the face-off then that is still facing off today, that is still in activity today, and that is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, being tempted by the devil, the kingdom of God facing off against the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of the devil. And so then in verse 2, it says, "When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry." Well, I'm sure we would all be very hungry if we had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. That would be a supernatural fast. I've fasted some, a few days, 5 days, 7 days. I've done some Daniel fast, 70 days, but to fast on just water would be a supernatural event to go for 40 days. And so it says Jesus was hungry, and I'm sure we would all be hungry in that situation. "And now when the tempter came to him," the tempter being Satan, "he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.'" And so this was the first temptation. Jesus was hungry, and the devil came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." And Jesus answered in verse 4, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God,'" or proceeds from the mouth of God. And so Jesus quoted scripture to Satan. He quoted scripture. This comes from Deuteronomy chapter 8, where the children of Israel are getting ready to go into the promised land, and Moses is giving them instructions, and he is telling them that they're going to be finding fields that have been plowed and fruit trees that have been planted and wells that have been dug, and all these resources, all these blessings are going to come to them from going into the promised land. But Moses is telling them that you shall not live by bread alone. In other words, the work of your hands and the fleshly pursuits and raising food and taking food and crops and blessings off of that land, you're not going to live just by that, but you are going to live by the word of God. It is God that sustains us. It is God that provides for us. And Deuteronomy 8 also says that is God that allows us to make wealth. So, beloved, if you think you're a self-made man or a self-made woman, and you think you've done everything on your own by yourself, built your business, built your farm, whatever it is you built, been the greatest teacher, the greatest accountant, whatever it is that you think about yourself, understand this, that it is God that gives you the power to make wealth, and you would have nothing, you would be nothing if it were not for God. And you did not choose to be born in the USA, where we have great blessings, great financial blessings, great material blessings. You could have been born in Makunda Village over in Africa and have nothing, be scrapping and scraping and be hungry half the time, no school fees, no medicine, the things that you take for granted there in the U.S., you would have none of that if you lived here in Africa. And it is just by God and the grace of God that you have been blessed, and it's by God's grace that you've been born in the United States of America. And so you need to keep that in mind when you start to get proud about your business, your farm, or whatever financial acumen you have, whatever financial blessings that you have. And so when we look back at verse 3, the devil has says, "If you are the Son of God." Well, there's something that we need to look at here very carefully. When Jesus came to minister on the earth, when he came to minister as a man here on the earth, he was not operating as the Son of God. He was operating as the Son of Man. And so in Luke 19, verse 10, it says that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so Jesus came as the Son of Man. He did not consider it equality. He did not consider himself equal to God, but he humbled himself. Philippians 2:5 said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men." And so Jesus did not operate as God when he was here. Yes, he was sinless. Yes, he did not succumb or give in to temptation, but he was operating here as the Son of Man. He did not consider himself to be equal with God, but he considered himself to be a bondservant. And he came in the likeness of man. He looked like a man. He was a strong man. He was a carpenter up until the day when he went into ministry. So as the Son of God, he could have easily turned that stone into bread. He's the one that created that stone. He created the dirt where the stone was sitting. He created the whole earth. The Bible tells us that by him and through him, all things were created. So he could have easily turned that stone into bread and sit down and had a meal right there in front of the devil. But he did not do that because he was operating as the Son of Man. And so therefore, he did not operate in the way that God would. And so the temptation that he faced in being hungry and the temptation that he faced in turning that stone into bread, the temptation was that he did not go back and operate as the Son of God, that he stayed in the form of man. And so he spoke to the devil the way that he was going to get through this temptation. And the way that he was going to get through it was by this: man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In other words, Jesus was saying, if I have to go another 6 hours without bread, I'll do it. If I have to go another day without bread, I'll do it, because I'm appealing to the Word of God to sustain me. I'm leaning on the Word of God to sustain me. And beloved, this is the teaching for you, the teaching for me. There are times in your life when your nice car and your nice house and your nice clothing and your nice job and all those things will not help you at all. They will not sustain you. And beloved, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you better look into the Word of God. You better listen to the Word of God, because all of your nice things will not do anything for you when you stand before the Lord on your day of judgment. When you stand before the Lord and he looks into your heart and his eyes are piercing through your heart, and you say, "Lord, I worked hard every day. I got a second home. I got a nice golf cart. I got a nice boat out there at the lake. All these things, Lord. I was a good man. I was taking care of my family." Jesus said, "But did you confess my name before men? Did you seek me with all your heart, strength, mind, and soul?" And so the temptation of Christ to lean on his flesh, the temptation of Christ about the stone is also our temptation. We need to not look at the things that we've accumulated. A man is not known by the abundance of his possessions. And so we just need to lean on the Word of God. There'll be times in your life when you are broken, and the only thing that will encourage you, the only thing that will strengthen you and sustain you, is the Word of God you will want to get your Bible out. You will want to read that word. You want to encourage yourself with that word. That's why people, when they go to funerals and they're broken and they don't know which way to turn, the word of God sometimes in funerals hits those people who don't know Jesus. It's a great place to preach the word of God. All right, so that's the first temptation, and that is the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh, because our flesh wants to satisfy itself with food and drink and be merry, and the lust of the flesh wants to satisfy itself with entertainment, luxuries, and all kinds of pampering of the flesh. And so John tells us in the book of John, 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So John says there are three main types of temptation: lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And these are not of the Father, but these are of the world. Okay, so let's look at the second temptation, starting in verse 5. And then the devil took Jesus into the holy city, and he set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. So same strategy here from the devil, if you are the Son of God. Well, the devil knew that Jesus was the Son of God. He was in heaven with him at one time, but he was trying again to get Jesus to appeal to his being the Son of God. And again, Jesus wanted to operate and show the devil that he was operating as the Son of Man. He was not relying on his God nature. He was relying on his man nature to resist the devil and his temptation. So the devil said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Well, the pinnacle of the temple was 400 feet from the top of the temple. The pinnacle, it was 400 feet from there to the bottom of the Kidron Valley, right next to the temple. And so if Jesus had thrown himself off as the Son of Man, he would not have survived that. If you and I had jumped 400 feet, you and I would not survive it. And so Jesus says that the answer to that temptation, verse 7, Jesus said to him, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And so don't put yourself, what Jesus is saying here is, don't put yourself in situations such as jumping off the pinnacle of the temple. Don't put yourself in situations that put God to the test and require God to come and rescue you out of your foolish decisions or out of your stupidity, you might say. I would certainly say that about myself. There's times when I've made very poor decisions, decisions that I regretted later. And so I was putting God to the test and praying and crying out to God and screaming, God, save me, save me. And I'm sure we've all been in that situation when we look back on some situation that we've made. We realize it was a bad situation. We realize the only way that we can get out of the consequences is God is going to have to do some amazing creative miracle to pull us out of our situation. And so Jesus is saying here, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God, or you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And beloved, that's the reason we need to pray. That's the reason we need wisdom. King Solomon asked the Lord for wisdom first and foremost, and God said, because you've asked me for wisdom, I'm going to give you all these other things that you've not asked for. I'm going to give you wealth. I'm going to give you land and all kinds of resources. Solomon was the world's wealthiest man at that time. And so the Lord is saying, don't put me to the test. Use your wisdom. Use your knowledge, your intelligence. Use your prayer time, to ask me for strategies, to ask me for the things you need. Don't put yourself in situations where I have to come and do some kind of miraculous thing to rescue you. And so that's the reason Jesus did not jump off the pinnacle of the temple. He did not, as the Son of Man, want to put the Lord God to the test. So then let's look at verse 8. The last temptation, there was three temptations. The last one, again, the devil took him to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to Jesus, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Well, the devil is the ruler of this world. We know that. Jesus said the devil is the ruler of the world, but never mind, I have overcome the world. In other words, when you confess Jesus, when you become a follower of Jesus Christ, you then can overcome the things of the world, and you then become a kingdom ambassador. You walk in the glory of the kingdom of God. You walk in the glory of the kingdom of heaven. And so the world is not your home. The world does not affect you, and the world does not overcome you as it does those who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord. And so the devil is showing Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Well, beloved, there's a lot of glory in the kingdoms of the world. Look at the Hollywood celebrities and their glory, and look at the drug cartels, the drug kingpins and their glory. Everybody with gold chains and fancy cars and 100,000 square foot houses and all of this stuff, that is the glory of the world's kingdoms. And Jesus didn't want to have anything to do with that. Jesus said in verse 10, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. And so Jesus said, I'm not going to bow to the glory of the world. I'm not going to attach myself to the kingdoms of this world. And beloved, I would suggest that you not do that either. I would suggest that you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that you desire for yourself shall be added unto you. Seek him first. Don't seek the kingdoms of the world. You'll get trapped in all kinds of things. Young people out there, there's all kinds of drug addiction traps. There's all kinds of sexual immorality traps. There's all kinds of traps of lying, cheating, stealing, scheming, and conniving that may gain you a lot of material wealth, may gain you a lot of comfort in a material way. But beloved, your soul and your spirit will be tormented. Don't submit to the kingdoms of the world. Don't worship Hollywood celebrities. Don't worship sports figures. Submit yourself to the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. And so Jesus said, it is written, three times. It is written. And he spoke the word of God from the Old Testament each and every time to Satan, and was able then to stand above the temptation of Satan. He was able to go forward then, and he did not submit to any of the temptations. And that is a teaching for us. That is an encouragement and a strengthening for us, that we can resist the temptations of the devil by keeping our eyes focused on Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, our Master, as he was successful in resisting the temptations. So we too can be successful in resisting temptation. And so then in verse 11, the closing verse in this passage, it says, the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to Jesus. And so the devil left him for that time. He didn't leave him forever. He came back at different times to torment Jesus and to tempt him also. But Jesus did not succumb ever. He did not succumb in this situation. He did not succumb ever. Our Lord was sinless, perfect. He went to the cross as the perfect, spotless lamb and shed his precious, perfect blood for you and I, that through his blood we can know the righteousness of God. And so the devil left him, and the angels came then and ministered to Jesus. And I'm sure he probably after that sat down and had a great meal. Well, beloved, I hope you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you know him, you can have a great life here on this earth. You can operate in the glory of the kingdom. Your sins can be forgiven. You don't need to carry guilt and shame with you. And you can operate in the glory of the kingdom, and your days will be filled with peace. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. It's not going to be a cakewalk, but your days will be filled with peace, because you will know that you are seeking the Lord with all your heart, strength, mind, and soul, and you will know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you will not fear death, because your last day on this earth, the next day, you're going to be sitting in the throne room with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and you're going to be worshiping with Jesus for all eternity in that glorious place. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener's radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that, and we praise the Lord for this day. If you would like to help support this ministry, the Children's Home, the church, and the crusades we have going here in Africa, we invite you to do that. We invite you to sit down today. We'd love to hear from you. Write out a note, put in a check of support, and let us know that you're listening, and we will get you some literature to get you started on your Christian walk and to encourage you as you look to Jesus each and every day of your life as well. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.